Well, golly, welcome to Caching in the Northwest. Surprise, surprise, surprise. The only podcast dedicated to geocaching in the great Pacific Northwest. We'll talk about caches and cachers unique to this little corner of the continent. So, while you're watching for the Magenta Thursday sales, we'll be caching in the Northwest.
And we can't do that until we bring in our geocaching gibbon. Some say he was born on the eighth day of the week. And others say he only wears socks knit from ostrich down. All we know is he's called Land Monkey.
I am down with the ostrich. All right. It's good to be back with you guys. Man, it seems like a long time between Thursdays. I always look forward to tonight.
Some weeks are longer than others, it seems.
Yeah. Some have 8 days, apparently.
Ask Ringo.
There you go. You know what? I am thankful to be here. I'm also thankful for our Denali level supporters. That would be Team Squirrel and WorldCaching.com. And of course, all of our Patreon supporters. If you want to know more about supporting this podcast, just click on the Patreon link on the CachingNW.com website. And it's time
to inhale. Deep breath.
Subway Mark, Cache and Maniacs, Darmore, Dune Buddy, Kid Vegas 19, GeoNav Pros, Wino Seattle, Acker Doc, OBXG, Camp Clan, B Pendragon, and Billy Robson. Thank you very much to every single one of you.
That was great. We need more sponsors so we can make Land Monkey's job harder.
Yeah.
But you're right. We do seriously appreciate each and every one of y'all out there. Now, for tonight's show, what are we going to talk about? Well, we're going to talk about a most wonderful time of the year.
There'll be lots of geocaching and families not clashing because you're out of here.
And love it.
I love it. You didn't even use beer in that one. That was good.
Yeah, that was
easy. That's the second verse.
You know what, though? Before we get started, I want to remind you folks that geocaching.com has spent many hours updating your profile page while you're sleeping and while you're having visions of sugar plums dancing through your head. And therefore, Caching in the Northwest wants to help you to further customize your profile page by adding a glow badge to it or a geocaching log of the week badge.
Yes. So whether you read it, whether you wrote it, we want to hear about it. Because great logs simply make geocaching better. Yes, better. Send an email to feedback@cachingnw.com. You can call into 253-693-TFTC, use that voicemail tool on the website, or record a little bit right there on your phone and email that in to feedback@cachingnw.com. We don't care. We want to hear your voice.
Well, we care. We just don't have a preference as to how you submit your glow.
That's so much better said. Use good with the languages.
Seems legit.
I learned a word or two here and there. I learned some new words last week in the glows too. Did you?
Well, speaking of glows.
Yes, moving on to this week's glow. This week's glow comes to us from Dune Buddy. And it's from Theater of, and I don't know if this is Almaty or if it's an accent, we just say a Theater of Almaty. But that's GC13YQB. And the glow reads, last cache of the day. I thought I'd found the ground zero very quickly, but on one side of the cache, about 3 meters away, a crew was laying new sod at the theater. On the other side, a crew was removing lamp skirts in the little park. Well, many cachers would welcome fewer lamp skirts. Two work crews presented an additional challenge. I normally do not have the patience to wait out muggles, but since I'd walked a total of about 20 kilometers over the day geocaching, I welcomed the chance to rest for a little. Finally, the crew laying sod finished and moved on. The lamp skirters were still there. They didn't work too hard, taking about 10 minutes to remove one skirt, then resting for about 20 minutes. Maybe they were considering the impact their work would have on the geocaching world. Or maybe not. On one of their breaks, I took the chance to go over to the cache location, grab the container. I couldn't find it, but I was looking in a crevice that was dark and I couldn't see inside, so I went back to grab my flashlight, which allowed me to see and grab the container. After sighting the log, I was ready to replace it in its hiding place and move on, but a couple of young women entered the scene taking photos of each other in the park. While some saying that I am too sexy for my shirt, geocaching shirt, that is, I figured the workers would pay more attention to the two young women than me, so I returned the container to its hiding place and made my way out of the park, another smiley in hand.
There you go. Thank you very much, Dune Buddy. That was a great glow sent in for Theater of Almaty or Almaty or...
Almaty. It's the Theater of the Almaty. That's if you're down south.
We're going to pronounce that. All right, folks. And you know what? We do love hearing from you. So if you've got a milestone cache find that you're celebrating, why not call it into 253-693-TFTC, share it with the Northwest community, or use the voicemail tool on the website, or record it on your phone and email it. There's so many ways you can send us audio if you really want to.
We don't have a preference to which manner you send in that feedback.
Clearly, we've established that at this point. Yeah.
Well said.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
We need some sent in because I don't think we have any to play this week.
Oh, that's sad.
But let's just talk about, well, let's see. How about geocaching?
Okay.
It's been about a week since we talked about geocaching. Let's talk about the week in geocaching, the week in Northwest geocaching.
Yeah. It hasn't been really great weather for Northwest geocaching.
It has been very much, very Northwesty weather, at least very November-y Northwesty weather.
It really
is. Pretty wet. Yeah, I don't know that I did a ton of it. I got out and looked for a few. I don't think I found one. I DNF'd a couple, but it's all part of the game, right?
It is. It was.
I did not even get out this week.
What?
I had other emergencies here at home that I was dealing
with. You do have some things going on. That's true. Well, we'll give you a pass this week.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah, I think we got out for just a handful of urban grabs while we were visiting family. So it was a low volume week for us as well.
I know there's always some new stuff coming out from geocaching. I've heard about Magic the Gathering tags and some other stuff, but
yeah, well, that's true. Yeah. Actually I should plug the contest going up on up here in our little corner of the Northwest. If you check out the Metro Van Geocachers Facebook and Twitter channels, you'll see that we're working with the city of Richmond, who have been given a bunch of those magic trackables to give away. They've asked Metro Van Geocachers to partner with them.
Nice.
The social media contest. So,
and I understand there are rules to said contest.
Yeah. I thought it was kind of important to make sure people read them, because the rule that's sort of the gotcha on that one is that the city of Richmond isn't going to mail those trackables out. If you are a winner, you need to go to the Richmond Nature Center and pick them up.
Ah, is that where we looked at the bees and everything when we were there with Donners? Is there an active beehive there at the Nature Center? Or is that a different Nature Center?
No, I think that's sort of the same place. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
That's where. Yeah,
because you picked up a different geocoin there from,
that's right,
from completing a challenge or something there.
That was completing the Richmond Geo Tour.
Yes. Yes. So I know where that is. I've been there.
There you go.
You know of which he speaks.
I do.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. All right. So, and of course, yeah, I see a little bit of chat in the chat room there about the Magic the Gathering trackables. That there is also geocaching.com has, I think it's closed now, but they had posted a website form or a web form where you could go fill in some data and be entered into a draw to get one of those trackables yourself. Now,
as of this recording, there is still one day left.
Is there still one day left? Okay.
Still one day left.
So get your name in there. Now, the deal with these is that if you get one of these trackables, it's not a trackable contest where there's going to be like a photo contest and the winner wins a prize and things like that, like they've had in the past. It's more just that it's a limited edition trackable, and they do want them out into circulation because they're trying to crank up the mileage and compete between the four different trackable clans or what have you. So
clans or classes or races or.
Yeah, I think it's dinosaurs, pirates, mer people, and something else.
There's a vampire.
Vampire. That's the other one.
Yeah.
So I know basically nothing about Magic the Gathering.
I know I've got a trackable here somewhere from last year that came out. That's about all I know is that Magic the Gathering has something to do with geocaching because I don't know anything else about it.
Yeah. I know it's a card game.
Well, and that's what's prompted me to go, okay, well, it might be, I don't know that it's something I would necessarily get into playing, but it would be, you know, interesting to just learn how it's played. So I'm probably going to do a little bit of research, just figure out what it's all about. And I think that's probably the whole point of the trackable promotion.
Probably. What's it all about?
Healthy.
Yeah. All right.
So should we do a bonus podcast where we go figure out Magic the Gathering? And
you know what? We could.
Good. If listeners would like that, let us know in the chat. Hashtag them FTAS for the after show, and we'll talk about it.
Ooh. There you go.
Nicely played.
Touché. All right. Well, you know what? Why don't we get down to the business of this podcast? We're going to talk about giving great gifts to your geocaching guys and gals. Ooh, that's very alliterative.
We like alliteration.
Yes, and we like great gifts.
Yeah.
One thing most of us would like, most geocaches would like, well, a new GPS. Who wouldn't love a new GPS? Now,
unless you don't cache by GPS. What if you're a phone cacher?
Well, but that's still a GPS. There's a GPS chip in there. If you'd like to wrap my new GPS gift in a brand new cell phone, I will happily accept that. Okay, because really, what else is a cell phone for?
Very big of you to do
geocaching, right? Now, whether it's for the trail or the vehicle, you know, sometimes people use both. Sometimes people use one GPS in the dashboard of their vehicle to navigate to parking coordinates and between locations, and then use their handheld out on the trail. Sometimes the cell phone serves both those purposes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes it serves neither when you're too far away from data and you have to drive to a local school to get Wi-Fi.
I don't know what you speak. Theoretically speaking, right?
Still fresh.
Hypothetically speaking?
Still fresh. Too soon.
Too soon?
You know what?
What?
You know what geocachers use a lot of?
Common sense.
Battery. Yeah, fuel.
Is what I was going to go with.
Oh, heck yeah.
Whether they're AA, AAA, or the USB style batteries.
What about
I don't think a geocacher can ever have too many batteries.
Well, no. I would agree.
A really nice gift is rechargeable batteries. Now, all the USB batteries are rechargeable, but, you know, get a good set of AA rechargeables. That's going to go in flashlights and GPSRs mm-hmm. and handheld radios and everything that you want to take on the trail with us.
Yeah. I have a set I use in my camera, my DSLR flash. Really good for that too.
Yeah. No, that's a really good point. Now, if you're looking at rechargeable batteries, I think if you go and try and buy AA or AAA rechargeable batteries, your pretty much only option these days is going to be lithium ion, right?
Yeah,
I don't think NiCad.
Low discharge.
Yeah.
Lithium ion. Yeah.
Yeah. The nickel cadmium ones, they're just not really making them anymore.
No.
Or am I getting my technologies mixed up?
No,
I think you're correct. Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, not too many of that. You know, Eneloop, and really there's a couple of offshoots, but they use the same low discharge. Yeah, you got me thinking NiCad, and that's not it. Lithium ion. That, you know, you can leave them charged and sitting on a shelf for weeks or months. These are the batteries that you'll see that will say they're pre-charged and ready to use.
Hmm.
Even though they're a rechargeable battery.
There you go. Very cool. All right. Well, hey, you know what? Something else that's always guaranteed to be a great gift for geocachers to give or to receive would be clothing that you can use when you're geocaching. So, you know, everybody needs a few spare t-shirts that you don't mind if they get a little dirty when you're climbing through trees and up hills and wherever else Chris follows you.
Yes, because Chris does make geocaching a full contact sport, whether it's necessary or not.
That's right.
Usually not, but I still make it a full contact sport, yes.
Now, I understand there's been some talk on Twitter recently about hashtag wish I was caching shirts. Anything you want to talk about there, Chris?
What do you mean? I'm supposed to keep it a secret.
Oh, okay. Never mind then.
No, I worked on some shirt designs during the Wish I Was Caching, and we had some internal talks, and I thought, you know, I'm just going to leave it. And somebody found them. Because, you know, I linked it right on the website. It wasn't that I was hiding it.
Yeah.
But I did not mention it. And so if you're looking for any hashtag wish I was caching gear, you know, head on over to geocaching, or I'm sorry, I do that a lot, don't I? Cachingitw.com.
You could go to geocaching.com, but they're not going to have them.
No.
They're not going to have them. Cachingitw.com. And click on the gear link and you'll see all the hashtag wish I was caching.
And you can even track them right until the time they enter your country.
Yeah, as soon as they hit the Canadian border, you have no idea where they are.
None at all.
When that happens, that's pretty much any order from the U.S. coming to Canada. But yeah, it's like, oh, it's in Canada.
We're done. Yeah.
Good luck with that.
It's like the police chase at the county line.
In Saskatoon?
Yes.
It's in Canada. Go pick it up. Oh, goodness. All right. Well, you know what? So definitely, yeah, t-shirts, of course, a little bit of shameless self-promotion for the podcast there. But also, if you're looking at something practical, some ideas, definitely rain gear. I mean, we're in the Northwest.
We are in the Northwest.
If you're going to be caching anytime other than the month of August, you're going to want rain gear. And there's lots of different options for that. Even, you don't have to spend a ton on it. Even if you get a really decent... I was going to say parka. That's not what I'm thinking about.
Slicker
or the one piece with the hood and
poncho.
Thank you. Yes. I'm not sure why that word was not coming to my head, but yes, a poncho. You can get some really good vinyl ponchos that are quite waterproof and make great gifts. Stocking stuffers, even.
An emergency shelter, should you need it.
Yeah, it can serve. And you know what? Actually, I was out shopping with my son looking for ski jackets this evening, and I did see a product that is a poncho. It's an oversized poncho so that you could put it over your backpack, but it also has the ability to flatten out and turn into a shelter. I thought, that's pretty clever.
That is clever.
Yeah, it's a little more pricey, but, and it folds down into, I don't know, about, what would that be, about half, quarter the size of a football? So.
It could be an American or Canadian football, about the size of a loaf of bread, unless you go to Costco.
Yeah.
Well, it was actually about half the size of a loaf of bread that it folds down into as the little stuff sack. It's pretty good little unit. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Nice.
Yeah. I mean, boots are a great thing to buy for yourself. It probably wouldn't advise buying boots for somebody else because they're a very personal kind of thing. But you know what you could do if you're being generous to the geocacher in your house is you could go to one of their favorite outdoor stores, whether that be REI or MEC or Mountain Warehouse or wherever, get a gift card.
Mm-hmm. So they can,
you know, buy themselves a new pair of boots.
Exactly.
What else? Backpacks are always good.
They're always good, yeah.
So many different varieties of backpacks that you can get and different types of hiking bags. And, of course, my favorite is using a vest. I use the Ogeo Flight Vest, which I swear that is the best geocaching carry-all that one can have, but that's my personal preference.
It becomes your trademark almost.
Kind of, almost, yeah.
Yeah.
Only if you could personalize that in some way.
Yes.
Hmm.
Well, there's that. And hats. Hats are good. Hats are something that, you know, for me, I love my ball caps. So I've got an extensive collection for me. It's also, you know, I find ones I really like when I'm out somewhere on a trip and becomes part of the collection. But they're just great year round. Keeps the sun off your head, keeps the sun out of your eyes, helps keep the rain off your head somewhat. So
you just can't beat a good hat.
Can't beat a good hat. Well, you can, but I don't know why you
want to
do that.
Why would you want to? Yeah.
Not if you have a good hat.
Yeah.
I'm really fond of my Tilly hat.
Tilly is a great hat. And I was surprised. I looked at Tilly's, actually. I was at an outdoor store not too long ago at how many different models. I thought Tilly hat was a Tilly hat, but they have several different models. So,
you're saying a Tilly's not a Tilly?
Yeah. Well, Tilly's a manufacturer. The Keats 96 said, Outdoor Research Seattle Sombrero is a fantastic Gore-Tex rain hat. And I've looked exactly at that exact hat. Ooh. It looks really cool. And I think there's, correct me if I'm wrong, the research department will find it. There's another one that I actually have had on my wish list. It's a different sombrero. Is it a Spokane sombrero? But it's actually more waterproof than that one. Keats 94. Wow. Sorry. Got your number wrong. But I'm watching the chat. Speaking of the chat, before going to the next session, Starcasher says, actually, and I knew this and I was trying to recall it, but thanks for bringing it into the chat. The rechargeable AAA and AA batteries are typically nickel metal hydride. So think of the rats of NIM.
There you go. Thank you, Starcasher.
Yeah. So nickel metal hydride batteries, rain gear, hats, boots, backpacks, and geocoins.
Ooh.
Those are good gift items. Lots of people really, really go ape over geocoins, especially, well, Project 8 geocoins, but that's a whole different discussion. Trackables of all sorts are very, very popular in the geocaching community. And if you have a lot of them, as, well, Chris of the Northwest does right over there, depending on where your chat is, and he's got a display rack. And maybe you could pick, you know somebody, do you know a cacher that has an armful of geocoins and trackables that are just in a shoebox or thing, they should display those proudly. You could get them a geocoin stand or holder. In fact, if you're handy, you could make one yourself if you're crafty. Otherwise, there are a number of geocaching retail outlets, right?
Yep.
And sponsors, friends of the show.
Exactly.
Not sponsors, but... there's some great stuff out there.
You know, you could take an old piece of cedar, run it across a table saw.
The dado blade?
Cut ridges into it, like I have.
Mm. Dado, nido, whatever. Whatever it takes.
Well, and, I am.
Watson, thank you.
There you go. I am in the chat mentioned cash crate as a gift idea.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Cash crate,
that's a great one.
That is a great one. There are many different levels of cash crate. You can do monthly, you can do quarterly, you can do yearly.
You can also do just trackables too, can't you? They have
trackables. You can do trackables with a cash crate. I think you can do trackables without the cash crate.
Right. Well, you know what?
What?
A couple shows from now, Cash Advance is going to be on the podcast again.
Nice.
And we can ask them all about that. I'm sure they'd love to tell us.
Come back and join us, won't you?
If you have questions about the cash crate or trackables, and they're going to talk very specifically about the whole process of creating trackables. So I'm really looking forward to that. But that'll be cool.
Nice. You know, another thing that geocachers need, absolutely need, it's a must, is the premium geocaching.com account.
Ah, yes.
You know, you can go there, you can get a gift certificate and have it emailed to them. You can get the premium level there and have it applied directly to their account. There's a lot of different ways you could do that. Have it print out a little card and send it off to them. So,
and I can speak from personal experience. I have benefited from being the recipient of a gift premium geocaching.com membership. And I really appreciate it. It was a great, great gift.
What a nice thing to do.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Now, maybe you looking for something. Maybe you're crafty. Maybe you like to make things.
Ooh.
Maybe you like to make geocaches or things like that. You could gift somebody a ready-to-hide geocache. Now, of course, you could just buy the stuff too. But maybe you like to make some. I like being crafty and creative and DIY maker type stuff. So maybe you've finished off those Altoids in the console of your car and that empty tin's kicking around. You could paint it black, glue some magnets, make a logbook, Ziploc baggie, get it ready to go. Tupperware container of some kind.
Now I've got a suggestion to throw out on that topic of
ice and tube and cedar.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
No. If you want to gift somebody a ready to hide geocache,
yeah,
why don't you? Here's a suggestion: go to any dollar store, and they have these. They're not balsa wood; it's a stronger wood than balsa wood. But they have these little wood, unpainted birdhouses. They're they're only about I don't know, 10, 15 centimeters tall. They're quite small.
How much did it cost at the dollar store?
Surprisingly, about $1, $1.50, okay. Somewhere in there. And so you buy one of those, you can paint it up and decorate it however you like. And then you can even get crazy creative. I've done some things where you can even, if you carefully remove the bottom piece of wood, you could glue a little hinge in there so that the bottom opens up. There's all kinds of great things. Like Witsend said, if you want to get a little crafty and creative, you can make a really neat geocache, ready to go geocache container for your friends. For really not much cash outlay, just some time investment. And it's one of those gifts that really comes from the heart, right? People really recognize, wow, you put some time into this. Thank you.
Yeah. And sometimes they don't even require a lot of monetary investments. If you have leftover pieces of wood from a project you're doing, if you're doing a concrete project, you know, I understand you can make your own fake rocks.
You can.
That's right. And I've experienced Wits End has some really good wood scraps.
Sometimes. Not always.
Like, wow, he's got such better wood scraps than I have.
Just depends what projects you're doing, I guess.
Exactly.
And, you know, if you get really handy and you're into all that, it's always good to have a first aid kit around.
Oh, you've been around me when I'm making stuff, haven't you?
I get handy. So if you have one, maybe you should give one to a fellow geocacher. And again, doesn't have to be expensive. You don't have to go buy the most expensive one. You could hit the dollar store, pick up a convenient little container, toss some Band-Aids, some bandages, a couple of pills from your own cabinet. I'm thinking aspirin, Motrin, that kind of thing.
Yeah, in fact, just raid the cabinet in the office at work.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh. No,
get
don't
your own
do that.
Container, shake out the first aid kit in the office that nobody's used in a year, and you give it to a friend.
Oh, dear.
Oh, hey, my
God. You know what? If people are looking for ideas, if they would want to do that, they want to go down that route and make a little first aid kit gift for somebody, go back a few podcasts. We actually had a doctor on this podcast.
Yes, we did.
Who was sharing with us what things you should put in the do-it-yourself first aid kits. So. And he was sharing, it really isn't that expensive to put one together. So there you go. We'll have to look up which show number that was and share that. But that would definitely.
Yes, that's exactly the right idea. Yep.
Where would they look the show numbers up? Where would they find an archive of shows?
Perhaps on cachingnw.com.
That's the place. Go check it out.
All right. Well, while you're checking that out, another great idea is a Write in the Rain logbook and a space pen. Now, that's like the ultimate there. And I would also suggest that if you're going to think about buying somebody a space pen, you get a Write in the Rain logbook, which is, you know, obviously something they could use in a cache. But obviously, well, I should say obviously, I would assume they're not going to put a space pen in a geocache because that's expensive. And
yeah,
I don't know. Great. First to find prize.
Ah, true.
There you go. Yeah.
Very generous of you. Thank you.
Very generous. I'm too good for that, but yes.
Write in the Rain also makes great notebooks. So let me tell you from personal experience, if you love earth caching, having a Write in the Rain notebook and a pen that is compatible, whether it's a space pen or one of the Write in the Rain pens, is super, super handy if you're finding earth caches and the weather is not exactly agreeing with you.
That's so rare here in the Northwest.
Right?
Like it ever rains here. Hello.
Yeah. Oh, and apparently we've already got the answer here. Episode number 214 is our first aid episode. So
there you go.
Listen to episode 214.
Our research department comes through again, right?
Yes, well, that was Team Finn. Thank you, Team Finn. All right. What other stuff should people be thinking about?
One of the things we always tell people to do is carry more water than you think you need.
Mm-hmm.
So get that geocacher in your life a good quality water bottle. Could be aluminum, or it could be a hydration pack that goes in that backpack that you got them last year. Or, you know, that vest that even has a hydration pouch in it, that all you need to do is get that new hydration pack and slide it in there.
Yeah, because they do wear out after time.
Yeah, they do.
Good to replace so, it.
Like I say, a good aluminum water bottle that is reusable and is durable. If it gets dropped or banged, you're not going to break it and lose your water. Don't break your water. That's completely different.
Whole different thing.
Or a hydration backpack. You can get them inexpensively. They don't have to be the name brand ones, like the Camelback. But there are others that work just as well.
Absolutely. And on the topic of hydration, something I want to share with everybody that I think is a fantastic gift is a life straw. So here's what a life straw looks like if you haven't seen one before. That is a life straw. Now, these things are amazing. It is basically, as it sounds, it is a straw. You put your mouth on this end, you stick into the water, and you suck, and it filters as you suck. So you can
right. It uses your suction to pull the water through the filtering process.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
What I like most about Life Straw, I'm sorry, I don't mean to steal your thunder here.
Jump in there,
Land Monkey, is that when you buy one for you, they give one to somebody who needs it. You know, I'm talking third world country where they don't have a clean water supply.
Yeah,
that's what I really like about Life Straw.
I've always liked that aspect of them. Sorry, go ahead, Jim.
No, I was going to say, not only that, it's a good quality product.
I was just agreeing.
Absolutely. So I've got one. It's just going to, it's obviously it's still in its packaging right now, but it's going to just sit in the vest and it's there for if I need water in an emergency situation. You know, if I just, for whatever reason, I'm not carrying enough and there isn't a really clean source of water where I am, I'll have that to fall back on. And yeah, by buying it, I have provided a life straw to somebody who really needs one.
Mm-hmm.
So I love that.
And really, we should say that when you're out and about, there really is no clean source of water.
Right.
You know, you should consider any stream you come to, any puddle, you know, as a contaminated source of water in this day and age.
I'd say particularly if it's a puddle.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, another great item to be gifting somebody that doesn't cost a lot is fire starter. Have some sort of fire starter that people can have. Now, whether you can get so many different varieties of this. You can get a flint and steel. It's almost like a necklace. It's on a lanyard. Mm-hmm. Hangs around your neck. It's got a little flint and steel on it. I think it's called like the Swedish flint or something like that. I've seen those advertised. You can get so many different variations. I have a paracord wristband that has flint and steel integrated into it.
So yeah, I've seen those.
There's all kinds of great ways that you can do that. And then the fire starter itself, you can buy the cheap fire starters at the dollar store. You can buy more expensive fire starters at any of the outdoor outlets that you care to go to. And again, if you're feeling crafty, my friends, you can make your own fire starter.
How?
Well, you know, all you need is some dryer lint. And who doesn't have lots of dryer lint? You need a little paraffin wax. And you need a cardboard egg carton. And voila, you can make yourself a metric buttload of fire starters. And these things, I will tell you from personal experience, these things burn like crazy. And they are super easy to light. So you keep them dry by putting them in a Ziploc bag and you can carry them around with you. You only need to have one. I don't know why you'd necessarily need to carry more than one with you, but you know, unless you're going on a long hike or, you know, you're a pyromaniac, but either way, they burn for quite a while.
Drop them on the trail and light them and be able to find your way back.
You could. I would not recommend that,
one of our better suggestions on the podcast.
Especially in light of the in light of how many fires we've had in the Northwest over the past few fire seasons, I would not recommend that action.
Maybe that's why.
Maybe. Yeah, no, I would say no.
I'm going to stop doing that now.
Thank you.
Awesome. But yeah, so there you go. There's fire starters, matches, the waterproof, weather-resistant, windproof, waterproof matches. You can buy little kits of those. And a match container, a watertight match container, which also serves as a great geocache, but could also serve as a great waterproof match container.
That's right. You never know when you're out in the trail and you'd need that throwdown cache. You dump out your matches, throw a log sheet in your match container, and it's a no, don't do that.
With 10 bad ideas are my venue tonight.
Yeah, sorry, it was contagious. I knew I picked it up from somewhere. Well, you know, maybe you're out and hiking that trail and it's getting dark. Because, you know, at this time of year, we've got a lot of dark.
About noon, it starts getting dark.
Yeah, you know. I retweeted somebody I saw the other day, made me chuckle. It was, hello, darkness, my old friend. It's 4 p.m. Why are you here again? Or why are you already? Something like that. Why are you here? It's 4 p.m. That was the rhyme.
There you go.
So it's always a good idea, especially at this time of year, to bring a flashlight along with you. Because, you know, as we said, it gets dark early. And I know that this is my everyday carry. Well, nearly every day. It's just a little flashlight that is surprisingly bright for its size. Continues to amaze people. But it really helps you to find your way around. And it's amazing how many times a day I pull that out and use it to check something out and look at something. Flashlights are a great thing to have along. Even in the summertime when it doesn't get dark too much later. You never know when you need a little extra light. And a knife. Flashlight and a knife. You can bring a little keychain clip light. You can have some people like the little knife that clips in their pocket. I'm a fan of the Leatherman type tools. Nearly every day, sometimes not always, but nearly every day I've got my Leatherman and my flashlight on my personage somewhere. So tools are great and they make great gifts.
Well, yeah, when you're talking about tools of the trade, those are kind of, you know, we've got all kinds of other things as geocachers that we would talk about, tweezers and log rolling clips and all these other kinds of things, and mirrors and magnets, et cetera, which are all great things to have as geocachers. And you can go to up here, stores like Princess Auto. I don't know what equivalent you would have in the States of that, or Canadian Tire and places like that up here. I'm not sure what would be your equivalent place to get those kinds of things, like the mirrors, the little mirrors on little telescoping mirrors.
And oh, yeah.
Telescoping magnets and things like that. But those would be the places I would send people to, Canadian Tire, Princess Auto, places like that, where you can get those things pretty cheap. Where would you go?
Hardware store like Harbor Freight.
Harbor Freight would be fantastic. Yeah.
Harbor Freight is a great place.
Awesome. So there you go. So that's.
They also have $3.99 plastic ammo cans if you needed one.
They do.
That sounds like a great deal.
They often have flashlights very cheaply.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Well, and I was going to say, on the topic of flashlights and knives, another good thing to carry around with you is a headlamp.
Yeah.
You can get them that they throw enough light that you can definitely see where you're going. I have one that I bought on a whim because it was on a flash sale from, well, I guess flash sale is the territory of Amazon, but it was the equivalent of a flash sale from Monoprice. Mm-hmm. And I bought it. It's their USB charging headlamp. And that little sucker works really well. And it's super light, doesn't take up hardly any space. So it's always in the pack. And it's fairly quick to recharge. And it came in super handy two weekends ago. We were in Larrabee State Park and ended up on a trail that took us longer than we thought it was going to. Long story, but to make a long story short, there's some logging that removed a trail that we were planning to take. So there you go. Best laid plans of men. Anyhow. So what that meant is we ended up taking a lot longer to get back to the car park than we thought it was. So we had, fortunately, we had our flashlights, headlamps with us, and therefore we're able to walk out in complete safety. So
nice. You know, the USB rechargeable is a great idea because you can put that in the car.
Yeah.
And charge it as you're driving to the cache site.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Or, you know, you've used it up on your way back. You can charge it up and have it ready for you again.
Yeah.
It's a great idea. The last thing I want to touch on is Dorimore already brought it up in the chat. It's time. You know, offer to drive your favorite cacher to a new area and then cache with them.
Yeah. If anybody would like to drive me to Australia, yeah, I will cache with you there.
Mm. Nice.
Okay. Hold your breath.
It's going to be a long drive.
I mean, as far as driving goes, hold your breath.
Yeah. Hopefully, if you're driving, you happen to be a 747 pilot.
Oh.
Or 777 pilot.
The Marine.
But anyway.
You know, that's often what I ask for on birthdays, Father's Day, Christmas is, guys, I want to do a day of caching. Will you drive me? And now that I have a son and a daughter that can drive, you know, I've got a lot more options. And it's nice. I mean, I'm the one that, you know, hey, I'm going to go out and I'm going to go caching, but it's nice to have someone take you there and even go with you. So,
yeah, that is nice.
Now, you may have noticed, maybe you didn't, because it was very natural, but we've managed to slip in the 10 essentials
that
every hiker should have into this wish list.
What?
Yes, I know.
You're so sneaky.
Aren't we, though? So.
So what are the 10 essentials?
Oh, you would. I don't have the list.
You snuck them in. Read them.
Okay. I know it's hydration, insulation, navigation.
Yep.
Some alliteration.
Alliteration.
First aid kit.
Celebration.
Flashlight.
Salivation.
Starter.
Muppetation.
Deforestation.
Inspiration.
And shelter.
Imagination.
Boy, people are in a lot of trouble if they listen to Jim. I gotta say, I have the 10 essentials. I'm safe.
Hey, you're not the first one to say that.
He lives in a world of pure imagination.
Right. You could even eat the dishes.
Oh, man.
I like the deforestation. Is that part of the fire starter?
I was going to say that's what the fire starter.
Well, you know, if you follow Chris's suggestion of lighting fire starters along the trail to find your way back, then yes, that takes care of the deforestation.
In that case, use Bounce Bounce's technique of glow sticks. It's a little safer.
Yeah, definitely.
That was a great story.
It really was. That's what I was thinking of when I was thinking of the fire starters.
There you go. Classic, classic. But yes, you did slip the 10 essentials in there. Well done. We have once again reinforced the concept of the 10 essentials, for we want people to go caching safely and caching often.
That's right. Get out there and get caching safely. And while you're out there, follow those rules, get the 10 essentials, and don't take directions from anybody on a lawnmower.
Rule number 13.
Rule 13.
14. Sorry.
14?
14.
It's an important rule, whatever number it is.
Well, you know what? Actually, before we leave this, there's something that when we were talking about shelter as one of the items in the list, and I forgot to bring this up. There's an item that I saw from Mountain Warehouse. I was sharing this with the guys before the podcast. So listeners, this is something that I just think is so cool. I want to share it with you guys. I'm sure you can get it from other places as well, but I found it from Mountain Warehouse. It's what's called an emergency storm shelter. You can get them in multiple sizes, but the size I'm familiar with is the 2 to 3 person size. It is it fits into a small rucksack, you know, about, you know, slightly larger than your head, depending upon how large your head is. And it unfolds and creates a bright orange emergency shelter that 2 to 3 people can cram into, be safe out of the rain. It has a certain amount of insulative value, but mostly it gets you out of the rain and out of the wind. Has a little window on the side so you can kind of see what's going on, but you're super highly
visible. You coming.
Yeah. Well, and you're super highly visible. Doesn't take a lot of space in your pack. I think it's a great idea. Now, I'll know, I'll get a little plug in there for Mountain Warehouse. They actually have that unit on sale for $35 Canadian right now.
So, nice.
Yeah, pretty good investment in your safety. But that's just something I thought it was really cool when I saw that. So that's on my Christmas wish list. We'll see what happens there. But thought I would throw that in there because, first of all, I really like Mountain Warehouse. But secondly, I think that's a really cool product. I'm sure there's probably others, but that one's pretty neat.
It looked really cool. I looked at it before the show, as you're saying, and I may just have to go add that to my wish list, something to keep for hikes and trips. You never know what's happening because, well, the Northwest weather can be unpredictable.
It really can. You can go out for what's our story from last summer? You can go out for a day hike and end up on an overnight hike because the forest fires have shut the roads down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. And I was shocked that this shelter, you know, $35. I mean, that's very inexpensive. I was thinking, you know, it would be far more than that and be larger and hard to carry. No, you could, you know, stick it right underneath your backpack and off you go. Mm-hmm. You'd hardly notice it.
Exactly. And, you know, $35 Canadian. So for you guys, it's what, like $5?
$2.50. Yeah.
Okay. Binary dollars. Hey, well, I think that's been a pretty good suggestion, good list of gift ideas. I would be happy to receive nearly anything on that list.
Indeed.
Homemade fire starters would be fine. I don't know how those would come over the border.
All depends what you declare. I don't know. I don't see why it would be illegal to take homemade fire starters across.
Do you have anything to declare? I have some old dryer lint and melted candles. Is that okay? What's wrong with that? I ate all the eggs, so, you know, yeah.
It's all good.
What could go wrong?
Yeah. No, I think it was a great list. We've covered a wide range of both types of gear and price ranges of gear. You can buy the GPS for somebody and spend a little chunk of change, or you can get crafty and make some stuff homemade. And I think the old saying always goes, it's the thought that counts.
Indeed.
So get something that your geocaching friends will appreciate. And, you know, like I said, I would appreciate any of those.
Duly noted.
I will bring you my dryer lint.
Okay, perfect. I have the box of household wax right here ready to make fire starters.
So we know the new Christmas tradition for caching in the Northwest is to get together at Wits End's house and make fire starters.
Come on over. I have a fire pit in the backyard. We can go test them out.
Sounds like a good time to me.
Because now this time of year, I think it's actually safe to use.
It is. It's on top of that.
After a foot of rain, it should be safe. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. You can warm yourself with some tequila and get the fire going.
Bring your hip waders and let's go build a fire. I think we'll build that fire next week. All right. Until next week.
Yes.
Maybe somebody wants to write Land Monkey, call Land Monkey, contact Land Monkey, and get that recipe for homemade fire starters. Where would they contact you, Land Monkey?
Well, you know, that recipe for homemade fire starters pretty soon is going to be on our YouTube channel. So you can search YouTube for Land Monkey, LANMONKEY on YouTube. But of course, we always encourage people to follow us Twitter, Instagram, and Periscope. We're at Land Monkey GC. That's GC for geocaching. And, you know, if you're a geocacher and you just want to ask us a question like, hey, can you give me a nudge on that Land Monkey puzzle? Well, we might. And you can, of course, find us on the geocaching site.
Would that be the oldest unsolved geocaching puzzle in the greater Vancouver area?
I was surprised to find that out. Well, let's talk about that in the after show a little bit.
Okay.
Before we do that, how would people stalk you?
Well, stalk me by looking for the only caching NW host with Zed right in the middle of my name. WYTZEND. I'm Wits End on Twitter, Facebook, Geocaching, Google+, LO, all those places. Actually, geocaching, google.com /+WitsEndUS because they're just weird that way. But find me any of those places. Send me a note. I like hearing from you guys. It's always fun. Chris of the Northwest, you?
Oh, Twitter's where I'm most active. That's CashingNW. You can find me on Facebook or Google Plus or anywhere else you can find CashingNW. Head on over to CashingNW.com/hosts and read our bios and find all the links that we mentioned and a few more that we keep secret. But folks, we want to say thank you for taking the time to listen to this episode of Cashing in the Northwest. Don't forget that you can be part of the show. You can call 253-693-TFTC and leave us a comment, ask us a question, send us next year's Black Friday specials any time of the day or night. And of course, you can email us at feedback@cashingnw.com. Don't forget that your support helps keep quality shows coming. If you like this show, click the Patreon link on the cashingnw.com website. The show's licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution 3.0 license. Copyright 2017 by Chris Amphenauer. Stay tuned, as I always say, for
the after show.
There you go. Folks, thanks for staying with us. Thank you, Limax.
There is a podcast on the net. They call Cashing in the Northwest. And it's got information that everybody needs. And we think it's the best.
I have that queued up, ready to go all the time, but I've gotten into a rhythm and I forgot it was there.
There you go. Hey,
that's great.
Never too late. Awesome. Yeah. Thank you, Limax. So I'll finish the thought about what I discovered on Project GC. I was looking on Project GC thinking, hey, I wonder how many unfound geocaches are still left in the Metro Vancouver area. So I start taking a look and there's a couple of puzzle caches. And then when you start getting further out, there were some caches, way up in the backsides of the mountains and things like that. And I thought, that's pretty cool. And then I noticed, I said, oh, okay, well, there's a couple of puzzle caches. I know one of them, apparently people have figured out the coordinates, but nobody's actually physically found the cache. Hmm. It's one over towards Port Moody area, I think. And there's another one that was fairly new and people just haven't had a chance to solve it and get out and find it yet. And I saw, oh, hey, that's one of mine. And I know people haven't found it, but I didn't realize it. It's like, that's now the oldest unsolved and unfound puzzle cache in the lower mainland, the Metro Vancouver area. So
wow.
That's kind of cool in some ways. It's kind of, oh, because I want people to find my caches.
Good job.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Awesome. Oh, yeah, that's awesome. And Jim, I did get your reference in the old.
I didn't see any comments in the chat, but
Peters has passed away.
Yeah. He's back home again in Indiana, right?
Yeah. There you go. All kinds of activity in the chat tonight.
Oh, so much.
Busy. Yeah.
Lots of fun. What kind of fatas stuff do we have? We've got Limax hashtag fatas. I'd like a show sometime on tips crossing the border. Did we not do that recently?
Last show we talked about traveling in the Northwest and crossing the border.
Yeah.
You know what I'm thinking about?
Week, just like 7 days ago.
Yeah, there's that. We talked a little bit about that, but I was thinking about when I was on that other podcast.
Oh, yeah.
De Bearmaker and I went in depth about crossing the border in either direction.
Oh, that might be good. We should.
Here's my tip for crossing the border, as Land Monkey well knows.
Yep.
Nexus.
And go online and enable it.
Make sure you activate your Nexus card when you receive it.
And sign your passport before you use it.
These are all very good things.
Let's see. Team Finn is celebrating their 200th day of their streak.
Wow.
Congratulations. Tomorrow we'll be celebrating that. Wow. So today's only 199 days.
Oh, so hold on. So they're not celebrating until they find it. They may not.
It's 200 Eve.
It's 200 Eve.
200th Eve?
Yeah.
Nice.
It's true. They haven't found it yet. Or maybe they pre-found it.
Odds are good that they will.
Yeah. Nice, nice. And does that... Now, I see Bronco Fans for Life said something along the lines of today was 1,010 and going. Does Bronco Fans for Life have a streak going that is currently at 1,010 days? That's crazy.
Because, wow.
Yeah, I pointed out that's only 10 in decimal, if that's binary.
Oh, that's not too bad then.
Yeah, I could do that. I haven't, but I could.
Keith says, Giga event next year in Cincinnati. Anyone going?
Hmm.
I really am itching to do that.
Thinking about it. Yeah, and Keats also said CHAG 2 remains unfound. That's GC599X6. It is apparently an evil hide, and that's the one that I was referencing in, I think, the Port Moody area, I think, of the Metro van. But that one has been solved, apparently. There's no geochecker that I saw, but people are going to Ground Zero and searching for it, so my understanding is that one's been solved.
Ah.
But it hasn't been found because it's a mystery.
Ah, I gotcha.
But I have the mystery cache that I have that hasn't been found also hasn't been solved yet. So I'm encouraging people you can do it, guys. It's solvable.
Let's see. Keith says, make sure you pick up good rechargeable batteries. I've had some explode on me when they're charging.
Which makes good fire starters.
It does.
Oh, yeah. You know, see, there's still a good gift idea.
I'd have to also question if the charger that's used too, because you can't mix
good point,
batteries in the charger. Now, of course, you can't do things like put alkalines in a recharging battery charger.
You can for a fire starter.
You can once. But even if you have nickel metal hydrate batteries that are different amperage ratings, you shouldn't charge them together. You should charge only rechargeable batteries that are the same milliamp hour rating at the same time.
Interesting.
Yep.
To which Team Finn says it's another reason to cache by phone, unless you happen to have a Samsung.
Well, yeah.
That can catch on fire as well. Important. So, again, another good fire starter.
There you go.
Too soon?
Oh, gosh. What else have we got?
We skipped right over Keats offering an option of a chirp beacon as kind of a specialized geocache hide.
Yeah, you don't hear much about chirp beacons anymore, do you?
No. I don't know. Is it still in the new Garmin GPSs, or have they kind of dropped that?
I have a new eTrex 30X, and it does have chirp.
Okay.
Chirp, chirp. Bounce Bounce suggested Arduino boards.
Yeah, stick in an Arduino board in your birdhouse that you're building.
There you go. Well, you may want to actually program it and have it do something, but you could also just stick one in.
Stick one in there. Go ahead.
So I Googled Chirp Beacon, and Garmin lists them as $22.99 US dollars, which is cheap. That's not too bad for a gift. And I think it's interesting that one of the first thing in there is set up a multi-cache.
Ah, there you go. Yep. Hmm. They do make great multi or mystery caches, that's for sure.
Built to cache, built to last.
Bounce Bounce wants to know if caching in the Northwest is hosting any events in the near future.
No. We were talking about one. We haven't even put it all together yet, but we were talking about planning one, yeah.
And Limax knows that we're going to PodCon soon.
Yeah, I am so looking forward to that.
Should be fun.
Should be.
Yeah.
Team Finn listed a great bunch of events coming up.
Okay, go for it.
WSGA's holiday party, which is GC7 Charlie. Mike, Juliet, November. You have the Grays Harbor Cash Machine, which is, wait for the page to load, GC7 Echo Zulu Golf Romeo. The Puget Sound Holiday Party. I shouldn't talk about them before the page loads because then it's awkward. The WSGA Puget Sound Holiday Party is GC7 Echo 93 Mike. Let's see. What else do we have? We have Ann Scouts.
Event at IKEA.
Dean Cruise.
Hmm.
2 day Port Sweden.
Ooh.
That's GC7 Echo November Hotel Juliet.
Interesting.
I gotta. Well.
So one of the things to keep in mind with all these events is also the souvenirs. I think we talked about in the previous episode, but the souvenirs coming out from geocaching.com.
Yeah.
One for finding a cache or attending event December 31st. The next souvenir for attending an event or finding a cache January 1st.
Yes. Now, I will be throwing a special birthday party for one of our fellow cachers.
Ooh.
One of those days.
Very cool. Is it a geocaching event?
Get days worked out and find out where we can meet.
Yeah.
Very cool.
So that last one, the Ant Scouts event, is at IKEA in Renton.
Hmm. Hence the Swedish theme.
Yeah, sure, you betcha. Right. No, that wasn't Swedish.
That's not Swedish.
Yeah, that's better. Yeah, we're all cash.
Nice.
Oh, the Swedish cashier.
Yeah.
Nice. Nice.
I am contributed tips for crossing the border. Keep donors from talking to the guard.
Keep donors quiet.
I'm just not contributing to that.
Yeah, I would just let that one go.
You're Team a smart Finn. Man.
Team Finn says free souvenirs.
Mattress unless you need to.
Team Finn says free souvenirs for streakers.
Ooh.
It's probably another one I shouldn't comment on.
Perhaps. Perhaps. We were talking about putting batteries in rechargers or rechargeable batteries and having them explode. Keats clarified that it was Energizer charger with rechargeable Energizer batteries and a total design flaw that resulted in the unfortunate situation he was talking about. So, and Limex says, I quit using Energizer batteries because I had a lot of trouble with leaky batteries. So it sounds like it's maybe a good brand to stay away from. I don't know.
Can be.
This show is not sponsored by Energizer.
No. I'm not a big fan of Energizer, personally, or ever ready.
Yeah, I am. Says the monkey is suddenly turning diplomatic. There's nothing suddenly about it. There's
self-preservation.
Self-preservation. There's certain topics I'm just not wading into.
I'm a whole country away. I could comment. But I won't.
There's a border between us.
It always feels like there's a border between us.
So Team Finn posted in the chat, GC2 Motel November 47. They call him the Streak Challenge. It's a cash by Don't Look Ethel.
That's funny.
I said, Don't look Ethel. But it was too late. She'd already been in this scene.
Yeah, a little race team.
No nudity required for completing the cash, please.
Oh, what fun is that?
I don't know.
Find a cash for 365 days in a row. I dare you.
Nice. All right. Well, what do you think, guys? It about wraps up our hashtag FATAS. Are we all FATAS'd out for the night?
I think we're FATASified, yes.
FATASification. To go along with the deforestation.
Dehydration.
Perspiration.
Demotivation.
Yes.
All the above.
All the above. And one more. But I'm not going to tell you what that is. You'll have to come back next week and find out more. And until next week,
yeah,
get out and get caching in the Northwest.